there. And looking at the ninth commandment this morning, and I think a lot of us should be very thankful that the ninth commandment isn't something like thou shalt not eat a whole lot, because if so, it'd be a whole lot of you should be at the altar this morning in repentance. But luckily that's not it. It's a different one. So we'll continue to look at that. And it's such a simple command here in chapter 20. As we look at verse 16, Word of God says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. In other words, thou shalt not lie is what we call it a lot of times. So, you know, sometimes people look at the Ten Commandments and think they're rather foolish, that God would have put all these restraints upon us. He would tell us what we should and shouldn't do, but quite the opposite is true. Those who disobey the commands of God are the ones who are suffering foolishness. But, you know, you'll talk about some foolish laws. We have some here. I don't know if y'all realize this, but I'm going to give you a few of these that are right here in the United States of America. Did you know that in Pine Island, Minnesota, a man must remove his hat when meeting a cow? You know, I sometimes begin to wonder what's going to go through the minds of these legislators, and this kind of opens it up. You wonder the people who are up there and watching or in our state places. That's one of them. Here's another one. That whoever peels an orange in his hotel room in California is breaking the law. Did you know that wives, I like this one, that wives in Kentucky must have their husband's permission to move the furniture around in the house? Now, that one's not too foolish right there. That's actually a pretty good one right there. This is a kind of interesting one. Did you know that every animal out in the streets in Berea, Ohio, after dark, must wear a tail light? Now, I don't know how you mount or have a tail light on an animal, but and did you know, according to the law, crocodiles may not be tied to hydrants in Michigan? Now, I don't know. I mean, this is a true law. This is really a law in the books. Crocodiles cannot be tied to the hydrants in Michigan. Here's, I think, my favorite one, since it hits pretty close here. This is over in Natchez, Mississippi, just right around the corner. That in Natchez, Mississippi, elephants are not permitted to drink beer. I mean, so I guess elephants have to go somewhere else if they want to drink beer. And we sometimes want to think about God's laws as foolishness, but quite frankly, it's sometimes our laws that are just foolish. We don't know what they come from or why they're there. But God's laws are here for a good specific purpose. They help us in our relationship to Him, to worship Him and to know Him. And they help us in these relationships right here too, to make them all that they should be so we can love one another, we can worship God in spirit and in truth. I want to look at a foolish family this morning. That's what I want to look at, is a foolish family, based upon this passage right here. And I want us to open our minds to realize, when we look at this passage, it says, thou shalt not bear false witness. You know, sometimes we just call it don't lie. And I think that's a good way to look at it. Just don't lie. But there's a whole lot more to lying than just our little white lies, as we like to call them, or just the lies to protect people, or just the outright little bitty lies. There's much to it. And I want you to look at with me, first of all, who is the father of these lies, the father of false witness. And if you have your Bible this morning, I'll get you to move around a little bit in it, okay? It'll be good for your thumbs and it'll keep you awake. In John chapter 8 is where I want to begin by looking. Who is this father of this command? I guess the father of this anti-commandment, if you want to look at it that way, is what we'd have to look at it. In John chapter 8, verse 44, who is the father of this family? He says this, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of lies. If we think about this passage right here, what we really understand is this, that when we lie, we could never be more like the devil than when we lie. We bear false witness when we lie. We're really representing the devil, because that's who he is. He is the father of all lies. Every lie has been spawned by Satan. Do you realize that? Every lie that we tell has been spawned by Satan. And therefore, he is the father of lies. You're never more like him than when you're telling a lie. And if you think about it, he began at the first incidents in the Garden of Eden. You remember that story? Most of us do. Several things he lied about. Here's Adam and Eve living in this perfect place. God had given them commands for their own good, because God can. I mean, God has the right to set the standards and set the boundaries in our life. It's not up for debate. It's not the ones we think are good or bad. We toss out the others. No, God has that right. And he had told them, here's how I want you to live. Here's what I don't want you to do. And the key thing, stay away from that tree. Just stay away from that tree. Pretty simple. But you got a lot of trees. You got a lot of stuff. Stay away from that one. He gave them a command. But what did Satan do? He came in and with lies, he deceived them. First of all, he slandered the truthfulness of God. He said, had God said, you know, he put a question mark where God put a period. And that's sometimes what we find, that's one of the key trickeries, I think, of the devil, is he likes to come in and put a question mark behind what God has made a statement. Had God really said this? I want to make you think about it. Can you really trust God? Is God out there for your best and for your good? Did he really say it this way and begin to say, well, I don't know if God really wanted me to do this. I don't know if God really said it this way. So he might have questioned God with a lie. The second thing, he slandered the righteousness of God. He said, God said you would die. Satan said, oh, you won't die. God said, if you eat of that tree, you're going to die. And Satan said, oh, you're not going to die. That couldn't possibly be true. He lied. He lied to man about God. He lied about the righteousness of God. There's no way that could possibly be true. And then he slandered the goodness of God. If you look at it, what Satan did, he implied that God was holding out on them the very best for their life. He said, you know, God's really trying to keep the fun things of life from you. Because if you eat this tree, you're going to be just as smart as God. You're going to be like a God yourself. God's just trying to keep you in your place. God's trying to take the fun away from your life. And let me tell you, there's been many other men and women, boys and girls, who have heard this same lie uttered from the lips of Satan throughout their life. That, you know what? God's just trying to keep the fun out of your life. God's trying to ruin your life. God's trying to limit you. You don't need that. You could really experience the good times. You could really experience all that's out there. You don't need to listen to that and see with these lies. Lie after lie after lie. What happened? We know Eve caved in and Adam right behind her is what happened. And the fall of man we find. See, God doesn't take lying very, very lightly. We think about it as serious sins. We put lying somewhere down there. That's not a big deal. You're just telling a lie. We think, you know, the murder, that's the big ones. We have several others we would put in there, the big category. And lying would be down there at the bottom. But God takes lying extremely, extremely seriously. Satan lied to man about God, but Satan also lies to God about man. Remember the story of Job? You know, here's Job, and man, Job is a righteous guy. He loves the Lord. His life is blessed. And there came a day when God was there, and Satan came into his presence. And that bothers a lot of folks. We're like, how could that happen? But, you know, he's God. It's not like he's tempted. It's not like he didn't have Satan in his place. He's always had Satan in his place. He always will have him in his place. And Satan says, well, you know, that Job fella, he told a lie. He said, you know what, that Job fella, he only is good to you, God. He only obeys you because he has so much. He only loves you because you blessed him so much. Take those things away. He'll turn your back on you. God, you're a sucker. You're a sucker, God. You don't get it, do you? Job's been using you. You don't even understand that, do you? He tried to use even that lie. Now, we know how the outcome was, that he allowed this testing and Job passed it, even though it was a very difficult time. But yet, he lies. And he also uses slander to crucify the Lord. If you look in Matthew chapter 26, 59, I'll turn there right now. We find that one of the key elements, what Satan did to see that Jesus was crucified, is he brought up false witnesses, folks who would come up and tell lies about what Jesus did. That's what drove them to the cross. Now, certainly he gave his life. He could have stopped it at any time. Never, ever be confused about that. But he brought up slanders. He brought up liars who came up here and bore false witness. See, the father of all lies is Satan. He's the father of this family. I don't know about you, but that's not really a family that I want to be a part of. I think it's family that none of us want to be a part of, but you realize this many times, we kind of step into this family. That we step into this family and act like these type of children. I want to look at the second thing. I want to look at the family of the false witness, the family of the liar who Satan is. And I want to look at some of the various ways. You know, we talk about bearing false witness, and I've said earlier, thou shalt not lie, but there's a lot of other ways in which we bear false witness, and in this family we resemble the father who is Satan in this. Look at a couple things. Turn over in Exodus. You got your Bible again? Remember, I'll keep you busy this morning with it. Exodus chapter 23 is where I'm going to go. Exodus chapter 23 is just a few over from the first command. Exodus chapter 23, verse 1, because the first person in this family that I want to look at is the perjurer. The perjurer. That's a big old word, and we may have heard it sometimes on TV, but look what it says in chapter 23, verse 1. Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. The perjurer, one who will go into the court of law and tell a lie. Now, you know, a lot of years ago, people didn't think much about it. Like, yeah, I'll get on the stand, tell a lie, I'll get this person off, tell them what they want to hear. They'll, you know, help me out down the road. It's kind of interesting, though, the last few years, if you've noticed, the federal government especially has really been going after those folks who've committed perjury. You know, they couldn't get them all these other crimes, but what did they do? They lied in a written testimony or a given testimony, and they've gone back after many of them and convicted them of it. And for some of them, they've done prison time because they lied. That'll teach them to lie right there, won't it? He says, if we get in the court of law, we decide we're going to lie to cover somebody, that we are wrong, that we are a liar. We're part of that family of liars. In fact, I believe that if we was to get in there and lie for the sake of a murderer, that God would put beside our name a murderer. If you get on court stand or whatever it might be called, and you lie to protect someone who's a thief, God puts beside your name thief. There's a perjurer. Now, I know for most of us in here, like, I don't go to court, unless it's traffic court. Some of you have probably been there quite a lot. But, you know, you don't go to court. You're like, I'm okay on this one right here. I ain't got to worry about perjury. I'm not going to be a witness. But here's where we get a little bit more, I think, that hit us. The second member of this family that I want us to look at is the rumor monger. The rumor monger. And I think this Exodus 23 verse 1 addresses that too. Thou shalt not raise a false report. That is to begin a rumor. Rumors are easy to begin, aren't they? And they're easy to spread. They spread like wildfire. Spread like, you imagine during the summertime, I wanted to burn. But you know, there was a burn ban. And the reason there was a burn ban, because all it would take is one little match. And you just kind of set it. It takes such a little bit. It'll take off earlier in the spring, you know, before the ban started. I decided I was going to burn one day. And I got out there in my yard and started burning. And I walked away from it a little bit. I'm like, you know, it's not going to go very far. Before I knew it, you know, half my front yard was on flames. I was like, man, this isn't good, you know. And I knew it stopped when it got in the driveway, and it did. But, it just took nothing for that flame to take off over all that dry pine straw and kindling and stuff. And that's the same way that a rumor is. A rumor, let me tell you, if you like rumors, you like spread rumors, beginning rumors, this passage applies to you. When we begin something, whether it's true or whether it's false, makes no difference. We begin something. And some people love just to have something to talk about, and they begin to spread these rumors. And rumors are dangerous. I heard a story about a pastor. He'd come to a church, and he was kind of new there. He'd been there a little while, but the people in the church didn't know him a whole lot. But one day, there was this rumor went around that he had come into one of the ladies' meetings and made his wife cry and made her leave. Well, that rumor spread all over the church, and it kept getting worse and worse. And finally he decided, you know, a lot of times I'm just going to ignore these type of rumors. But he decided, I'm going to have to address this. So in the pulpit like this on a Sunday, he got up and said, heard there's a rumor going around that I came to a ladies' meeting and made my wife cry and made her leave the meeting. I want to address four things about that. First of all, I wouldn't tell my wife what to do. She has the freedom to go to whatever meeting she wants to go to, stay what she wants to, and that's completely up to her. Number one. Number two, I was not at that meeting. And number three, my wife was not at that meeting. And number four, I don't even have a wife. So, you know, people can begin these rumors. Doesn't matter if there's any truth to them whatsoever. They can pick up and they can take off just like wildfires what they do. And they become very, very dangerous. Another member of this family is the flatterer. If you have your Bible, Proverbs chapter 26. Turn to this one. You'll like this one. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 8. The Bible says, as he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. The one who flatters, who gives honor to a fool. Now, let me tell you, you know, it's fine. If there's something you greatly appreciate, it's right to give honor where honor is due. It's right to give thanksgiving where thanksgiving is due. If someone sang a song and it really touched your heart, I think it's great to go up and tell them, man, I really love that. That touched me. Or in a Sunday school class, maybe somebody taught something or had a word of testimony that really meant something to you. Giving honor and thanking people is a good thing. But flattery becomes one of these things that also is a false witness, because flattery is praise with an ulterior motive. It's praise with an ulterior motive. I'm telling this because I'm buttering them up. I'm telling this because I want to manipulate them. I'm telling this because I want to control them. And the one who listens to flattery is one who needs to be very cautious. Very, very cautious. You know, as a minister, I've heard plenty of things. At times I've heard words of encouragement. At times I've heard words of flattery. At times I've heard words of criticism. And one thing that, you know what I've had to learn to do over the years is give it all to Jesus. You know, because if you take the praise, give it to Jesus. You can take the flattery and give it to Jesus. You can take the criticism and give it to Jesus at the same time. But we must be very careful, because those words of flattery are manipulation. And I know we sometimes want to peg women as the great manipulators, but guys, we're pretty good at it too. We just have different ways of going about it. And when we begin to give these false compliments, these false things, guys, maybe go up and tell your wife some things that you really don't mean, and it's really not even true, because you're fixing to hit her up with something big, like, I'm going to be gone for a week hunting, you know, and you try to hit her up with, you know, she looks all nice and she's lost a lot of weight and your food was the best you've ever eaten. You know, maybe those things are true, maybe they're not, but what he's called is a false witness. You're a liar is what you are, because you're manipulating. Another member of this family. This one's a good one, James chapter 4. You got your Bible, James chapter 4. Y'all been turning so far really good. I can hear those pages. James chapter 4. Another member of this family is the slanderer. The slanderer. James chapter 4. Verse 11 says this, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. The slanderer. See, gossip and slander are demonic and they're evil forces, my friend. I'm just going to put it the way it is. Gossip and slander are demonic and they're evil forces. There's nothing cute about them. There's nothing innocent about them. There's nothing that we should toy with about them. gossip and slander destroy. Maybe you've heard the little children's rhyme before. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You know, I don't know who wrote that, but they're an idiot. That's all I can say. I mean, you know, they really are. Now, I've never had a word give me a bruise on my arm, but it sure has bruised my heart. I've never had somebody say something that cuts my flesh. But every one of us has experienced a word that has cut us to the quick of our heart. And the thing is about our heart, it takes time to heal, doesn't it? And even once it's healed, it's still a scar there. It's a sensitive scar. Gossip and slander are parts of this bearing false witness. You might sit there and say, well, that's different because it's true. Sometimes we get in that mindset, it's like as believers, well, I can say it as long as it's true. No, you can say it as long as it's true and it's edifying and it's building up and it's out of love. We forget those things right there. We like to say, well, we can talk about it even if it's true because I got all the dirt. And there's folks, that's what they live for. In fact, when they have this words of gossip or slander, man, it's like a great treasure and they can't wait because they control it. It gives them authority and people want to come and people want to hear it. You know, it's a dangerous, dangerous thing. A.B. Simpson, he was a great Christian Missionary Alliance pastor many, many years ago. He said this. He said, I'd rather play with forked lightning or take in my hands living wires with their fiery currents than to speak a reckless word against any servant of Christ or, I believe, repeat the slanderous darts which thousands of Christians are hurling on others. Man, that wise man said, he'd rather go out there and grab those power lines, energized as they are, one in each hand, than sit there and say something that is slanderous, say something that is gossiping, say something that hurts somebody else. You know what? I think this man, he had felt it before, and he had seen the dangers. He had seen the hurt that it can cause. Because see, you know, we talked about lying. Again, we think about it, so it's such a simple thing. It doesn't have great consequences, but yes, it does. I mean, we talked about lying a minute ago. We put Jesus Christ on the cross. Lying hurts, and it kills, and it destroys. And things like gossip and slander will destroy a friendship. They'll destroy a relationship. They'll destroy a church. They can destroy fellowship. The worst thing, it's the most dangerous thing. Every one of you this morning came into this room with a deadly weapon. Now, some of you probably got a gun or something. You might have a gun, you can carry it. That's fine. But you've got a more dangerous weapon than that. You realize that? You have a more dangerous weapon, and it resides right here. Right here in your mouth. And now, some of you, it's because you're thinking, well, I knew I didn't brush my teeth. I didn't have time. I didn't think anybody would know about it this morning. But it's pretty dangerous when you do that, too. But you have a dangerous weapon right here because it's your tongue. James talks about it, that no one can control the tongue. It's like a wild animal. It says that every animal in the kingdom, in the wild kingdom, can be controlled. You can tame them. You can put them in the circus, and you can make them do tricks. But the tongue, nobody can control. Nobody can sit there and say, I've mastered my tongue. Not even any of us can sit there and say, I've completely mastered it. James sits there and says, no, you can't. As soon as you think you've got control of it, it takes control of you. And what your tongue can do is destroy and hurt and maim. It can hurt. But you know, it's not just those who like to talk about it. Let me go even further than that. It's those who like to listen to it. You realize there's some laws about receiving stolen goods. That you receive stolen goods, guess what? You're a thief. You're in trouble. You've got them. You say, well, I didn't steal them, but I received them. You're a thief. Guess what? When we receive gossip, we're still in that same inner circle and think, well, I didn't talk about it, but I sure did hear it and enjoy it. You know, that was some good meaty stuff right there. And given the opportunity, I might say it again. We sit there and we listen to it. And I've heard people say, I don't know why people want to come to me and they want to tell me things. Because something about you has put out the radar that you'll receive it. And I want to tell you what to do. Don't let people throw trash in your ears. Don't let them use your ears as trash cans. Because that's what you're doing. I don't think anybody here today would be okay if I left my house and, you know, we got a long driveway. And I have the tendency to take the trash and just put it in the back of my pickup truck and try to throw it in the can when I get down to the end of the driveway. There's a lot of times I forget, and I'm riding in town, there's the trash, but it's tied up, I'm not littering all over the place. But would it be okay with any of y'all, just raise your hand if it is, if I'm out and I miss mine, if I just stop by your house and I just take it and just sling it out there in your yard, you won't mind, would you? I mean, because sometimes it gets open. There's a dog in my neighborhood, and he's not going to be living much longer if I find him, but about once a week, he tips over, got to be a big dog, so I kind of got it narrowed down, he tips over one of my trash cans and just everything. Boy, you know what? I get furious. Boy, I get in there, I'm just mad. And like, if I could find that dog. That dog's probably off in the woods sitting there going, you know, laughing as they're watching me pick up all the trash. I won't let anybody throw trash all over my yard. You wouldn't let anybody throw trash over your yard. Don't let people throw trash in your hearts. Don't let people throw trash in your mind. Don't let people throw trash into your ears. Just don't even listen. When you get up to somebody and say, I heard this, I don't want to hear it. But some true stuff, I don't want to hear it. Is it for edifying? Is it for the building up of the body of Christ? Is it out of love? And is it out of care and compassion? And if the answer to all those is yes, then maybe you could hear it. Maybe it's something very legitimate. But I think Satan, one of his most dangerous darts that he's used in the church is exactly that. Our mouth that we should be using to spread the glorious gospel of Christ, we use just to tear down one another. We use to tear down a brother or a sister or a friend or a relative. We use those words and we hurt and we cause division that's hard to heal over time. What if this week, I would challenge you, I could tell you we could change our community in 1 week. 1 week. If this week, every single one of us, that every time we say something about somebody that we probably shouldn't, we'll immediately counter that with saying something great about who God is. We'll give testimony of how great He is, or how wonderful He is, what He's doing in our life. We'll share the way of salvation to somebody. I think we'd have the entire community evangelized. We really could. If you think about it, if every time we caught ourselves, man, I shouldn't have said that. Okay, now I'm going to say something to offset that. Not that you completely offset the things, but if we did that. You know, Satan gets us so sidetracked so that we talk about the things we need not talk about. But I think there's another transgression to this commandment about bearing false witness. And it ties in with this part about gossip and slander and rumors and things like that. And that is this. It's the sin of cowardness. Turn over your Bibles to Leviticus. Sam, making you go back and forth today. You're going to be well worked out. Leviticus. That's toward the front. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Our children are in Bible drill on Sunday nights now, and they're learning. I think they finished the first five books, the books of the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They're going to know them well. We need to know them well also. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "And if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing, and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of it, and he does not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity." You know what they're saying? If there's somebody who comes up and you hear something goes on, and you know that it's not true, and you say nothing. See, that's another sin. We'll sit there and say, "Well, I didn't spread the rumor. I didn't make the gossip. I didn't call this. I didn't do those things. I didn't lie. It wasn't me." But you sit there and just kind of listen and do nothing about it. That sin of cowardice makes you responsible also. The sin of cowardice. When we don't stand up, you know, we've heard somebody say something. We know it's not true. We need to have the guts to stand up and say, "Hey, you know what? That's not true. I was there. I heard that. I know what really went on. And that is not true whatsoever." Well, if you do that, some people may get mad at you. Some people may not be your friend. But you know what? You've stood up and you've spoken for what you know is right. See, many crimes would be solved if people just spoke out, wouldn't they? You know, they have these Crime Stoppers, these 1-800 numbers and all these things trying to encourage people, because just about every crime, somebody saw it. But too many people want to stand back as cowards and say, "Well, I don't want to get out there. I don't want to get involved." In the same way, though, much gossip would be stopped if people spoke out. You know what? We need to speak out. We need to speak out above all things for the name of Christ. You know, His name is used the way it shouldn't be on TV and late night shows and movies disrespected. You know, there's not a person here, not a man in here that would let me talk bad about your wife. You come and say, "We're going to have some words." And the same here. But you know what? We'll let people talk about Jesus Christ. We'll let Him use His name in vain. We'll let it go on and on. It's time we stand up and don't be cowards. Be a witness for who He really is. We know what He's done in our life. We know what is true. And when somebody else starts to talk about it or say He's nothing or use His name in vain, we should have the courage to stand up and say, "You know what? That's not true, my friend." Tell them. Show them the Word of God. Let them argue with that. That's the family of it. The last thing I want to look at is just simply the folly of it. If you got your Bible again, turn to Proverbs chapter 14. That the foolishness of those who want to bear false witness. Proverbs chapter 14. I'll give you a second, because I don't have mine marked. It takes me a minute to get there, too. Verse 8 of Proverbs chapter 14, it says this, "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit." It's folly. The folly of fools is lying. The folly of fools is deceit. It's bearing that false witness. The most foolish thing you can do is to be dishonest. The most foolish thing you can do is to lie. The most foolish thing you can do is to bear that false witness or spread a rumor or start gossip or listen to it. It's the most foolish thing that we can do. Why? Because it is so hurtful. It is so hurtful. You know, most of you got some age in here on us. You know, most of us are, you know, some of them are in their teens, but I'm sure it's the same with them too. There's not been a person in this room that hasn't been hurt by the words of somebody at some time. Maybe it was a stranger. But probably it was a friend or it was a family member or somebody that you cared about. See, if a stranger says something about me, I usually laugh. You know, I'm like, "I don't care what you think a whole lot. You know, I don't stick with us, but when it's somebody that we love. That's why it's the most foolish thing that we could do. It's great folly. There was a great Christian, and his name was Slander. He was a great Christian, a minister, a servant of the Lord. Loved the Lord so much, and another person made up slanderous comments about him. And his health was pretty bad anyway, and this kind of almost put him to his deathbed. So he lay there on his deathbed, just so brokenhearted and so hurt. The person that had said these words finally came to him. The person came to him and said, "You know, I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You know, I need to come to you and tell you I'm so sorry. I apologize. I've said some things that hurt you, some things that weren't true, some things that were slanderous, and I need to seek your forgiveness. Would you please forgive me?" And this old Christian man, he said, "You know, you're forgiven. You've been forgiven. It's all done." But he said, "I need you to do one thing for me. I want you to do me one favor." He said, "What would that be?" He said, "I want you to take the pillow that's beneath my head." And he did that. "I want you to go over here near the window." And he did that. "Open it up. And I want you to take your penknife. And I want you to cut that pillow open." The guy looked confused, but the man insisted. And he did. He said, "I want you to shake it out, all those feathers in this wind." He did that. And he came back to the old man. And he said, "Okay, I did it." He said, "Now I want you to go back out there and gather up all of those feathers." And the man was reflecting and said, "How can I possibly do that? The wind has taken them places I don't even know where they're at now." And the man said, "That's exactly what you have done. Though I forgive you, the hurt is out there. It's out there and it's spread to places that I will never know and you will never know." You see, my friend, that's why it's folly. It's foolishness for us to be involved in bearing false witness. Not only that, but it is actually even hellish. Look over at Proverbs chapter 6. The last passage I'll have you look at, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. Listen to this list. Man, this is an amazing list. "These six things doth the Lord hate." Doesn't say he kind of dislikes them, they make him unhappy. He says he hates these things. "Yea, seven are an abomination to him." That's a pretty powerful word, an abomination. Get out of my sight. That's an abomination. They're utterly despicable. They're full of wickedness. And look at this list of what he has here. Let's see, I lost my place. There it is. Verse 17, "A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." You know, most of us sit there and think, "He that sheds innocent blood, yep, that should make God angry. That should really turn God's stomach." But you see all these other ones in here? We'd sit there and say, "Those are minor sins, God. Those are the little things. You need to kind of cut us some slack on those." God says, "I hate them. I hate those things. And they have no place. They have no place in the life of a Christian. They have no place in the kingdom of God," is what the Word of God tells us, even in the book of Revelation. In Matthew chapter 25, he says those same things. "Did you know that when you tell a lie, you're the devil's angel?" That's really what you are. When you tell a lie, bear false witness, whatever it is, you're an angel of the devil at that moment. That's exactly what we are. But I want to encourage you this morning. There is one way, you know. I just sat there and mentioned that, you know, God will not have that in his kingdom. Lying and the tongue that bears false witness and rumors and flattery and all those type of things. But thank God for the cross of Jesus Christ. Because, see, the cross of Jesus Christ didn't just pay for the sins of the murderer and the sins of the kidnapper and the sins of the horrible sins we think of. It paid for the sin of the lying tongue. It paid for the sin of the one who spread a rumor. It paid for the sin of one who flattered with their lips. And this morning, no matter what our sin is, no matter how great we may think it is or how little we think it is, God calls it sin. And the only cure for sin is the cross of Jesus Christ. Realize that He paid for your sin. You can't make up for it. You can't fix it. You can't be good enough. But this morning, maybe for the very first time, you've come to that place that God has spoken to your heart. And you know what? I need to receive this wonderful gift of Christ. I need to receive forgiveness for my sins. And I need to seek to follow Jesus Christ, to give my life completely, wholeheartedly, with no reservations to Him, to follow Him from here on. See, that's the way to cleansing right there. And the good thing is God puts all that behind us. He removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. Think about that. That's as far as you could ever imagine. And maybe this morning, you're at that place in your life where you're ready. You know you need Jesus Christ as the Savior and the Lord of your life. I want to invite you in just a few moments during our time invitation to come. Come talk to Matt or I. Let us pray with you. Let us explain it to you. Because the greatest thing you can ever do is give your life to Jesus Christ. But you know, for a lot of us today, maybe as we sit here and talked about this, this is a very practical verse, folks. Very practical verse. Maybe, I start with a purger and it's like, "Oh, I'm going to sail through this one." But as we get to some of these others, we'd have to sit there and look in our lives and say, "Well, you know, I'm guilty of some of those things." And maybe if you're not guilty of doing them, you're guilty of partaking by listening to them. We need to repent of that. We need to use our mouths for what they were made for, to give praise and to give glory to God and to share with this lost world that's on their way to hell that there is a Jesus, and He offers the only hope that they'll ever have. That's how our mouths should be used. That's how our voices should be used. They should be used to bring encouragement to one another, edification to one another. You know what? My mama said something. Yeah, my mama said a lot of things in life. And your mama probably said the same thing. I bet my mama didn't come up with it. Said this: if you ain't got something nice to say, just don't say anything at all. That's a pretty good little lesson right there, is it not? If you ain't got anything nice to say, don't say nothing at all. You know what? We'd either have a lot of silence or we'd have a lot of good words, wouldn't we? You see, the opposite of this command about bearing false witness would be to bear a shining witness, an encouraging witness. The doors of the church are also open this morning. If God's laid upon your heart, this is the place you need to be, I want you to come. Unite with us, hand in hand, arm in arm. The altar is going to be open. Maybe there's something God's laid upon your heart that you just need to do some business with God. I'd encourage you, don't be hesitant. Don't worry about what other folks think. You need to be obedient to God this morning, because you will answer to Him. Would you pray with me? Father, Lord, again, Your commands, God, are here for our good. God, in our relationship to You, and certainly, God, as we look at this one, our relationship to one another. And Lord, I know every person in here can understand the hurt of words that's broken a heart, that God has destroyed a family, has hurt a relationship. Lord, I know that Your forgiveness and Your love is able to cover all of these things, and God, to bring healing. And Lord, I pray in our own personal lives that, God, we would look at the words that we use, that God, and we would use our words and our mouth the way they were meant to be, to praise You, to encourage one another in the body of believers, and to share Your word throughout this community. God, as You've spoken to hearts this morning, whether it's for salvation, God, it's conviction about life, or maybe what we're doing with our life, or how we use our words, whatever it might be, God, I pray we'd be obedient to You very quickly right now. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. I ask you to stand with me as Brother Ken leads us in a hymn invitation. You respond as the Lord lays on your heart.
307. Just as I am without one thing, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou didst become to me, O Lamb of God.
Being here this morning, just remind you to have our services tonight. Choir practice at 5. Children's choir, I think, starts tonight also, and children's Bible drill at 6 o'clock. Appreciate all those who put so much great effort into our fall festival yesterday. I hope you had a wonderful, wonderful time. We'll do it again next year when it comes fall once again. I do want to remind you that the youth have gumbo tickets for sale. You want to say that instead of me? Okay. You got something here?
4 o'clock this afternoon, we're going to kick off those children singing. They're going to have a real special part in the Christmas program, so mothers and dads, get them here.
Amen. If you're visiting with us, again, I'm so glad you're here. I'm going to be in the back in just a moment. I try to put a name with a face. It may take me several times, but I am very glad that you're here. I want to remind you, next week, be here. And if you show up at the same time, you'll be in time for Sunday school. Remember, next week is time-saving thing. You know, you go back an hour, okay? You gain an hour. So if you don't mess with it and you don't normally come to Sunday school, you'd be in time for Sunday school. So that would be the perfect thing, just to forget about it next week and show up, think you're coming to church, and man, you go to Sunday school and you'd like it and you'd come back the next week even though your time has changed, okay? And I want to encourage you, please do that and join us. I'm going to be back here in the back. I'm going to ask Brother Matt, if you would, to close us in our time of prayer.